many of the Rebbeim, especially with Rabbi Yafel, and to be able to, you know, see Talmidim of Talmidim is a great, great source of nachas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you that Siyata Deshmaya to continue to grow in Esek Batar and Avas HaTar and Yirah Shamayim, and to really master Maseches Kedusha. This is not beyond your capacity, beyond your capability. So I was told you're learning the first parak. Let me just kind of begin from square one. You'll help me out a little bit, and then we'll digress. The Mishnah tells us that there are three ways that one can go ahead and marry a woman with Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. And of course, that this is only a reference to the first stage of Ishus, of Erisin, of Erisin. But Ishus is made up of two different components, Erisin as well as Nisuin. What exactly would differences be between Erisin and Nisuin? If someone were to ask you that, what difference does it make? You're married after Erisin. So are there any differences, Lahalacha, between Erisin and Nisuin that you discussed?
Yerusha.
Yerusha is one. Where would one want to look if they say that's true? Show me where that's the case. What sugi would they look to? Right? The Yerusha, that's true. That it's dependent on Nisuin. What else is dependent on Nisuin? Right? Tuma, what does that mean? And who is that person?
Cohen.
Right? Cohen is married to a woman. She is Nifteres. Can a Cohen go ahead and be the Taman Meis for his wife? For his wife. It's an interesting Chiddush. Now that if she's a Nesua, so in such a case, a Cohen, what's the next word? May or must? Cohen's married to a woman, that woman dies, it's after Nisuin, so the Kohen
must.
May or must? What do you hold? May or must?
Must.
Yeah. So who says that? Right? That could be. That's my focus. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, so to that base. Right? Whether it's may or must. May or must. We pass like Rabbi Kiva that must. Right? The Kohen must be Natani. When the Pasuk says, Lo Yitama, that's a chiyuv. That's not just simply reshus. I could have maybe interpreted the pasuk differently. A kohen is not allowed to be metame for casual reasons, but if his wife is nifteres, then he is given license. He's allowed to. No, not allowed to. He must go ahead and to do so. That's the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. La yitama is considered to be irishus. Irishus. Let's say it's something unbelievable. Not so much for today, but unbelievable. And let's say he wasn't a kohen, and his wife died. May or must? May or must?
May.
May? Okay, does that sound right? Only if you're a Kohen you must, and if you're not a Kohen, you don't have to? Or does the Pasuk say, of course you have to, even if you're a Kohen, even or only. The Pasuk says a Kohen is Metamin Lameis. The Pasuk of the Kiva, a Kohen must be Metamin Lameis. Must be Metamin Lameis. So is that even the Kohen must be Metamin Lameis, or only a Kohen is Metamin Lameis? So, I would have said even, no? But that's what the Ravid writes. The Rambam disagrees. That's unbelievable. Now you have to speak to Rebbeim about that. No? You're not a Kohen, you don't have to. You know, but if you're a Kohen, then you must. I wouldn't have put those two together, no? I would have said maybe a Yisrael may, and even a Kohen may. Or a Kohen must, I would say, Kal v'chomer, a Yisrael must, no? Even a Kohen who... Tum is problematic. What's the Rambam writes? Where's that Rambam? Perak Beis of Chazava. The Rambam writes, a Kohen must, and if you're not a Kohen, up to you. You don't have to show. That's unbelievable, no? Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole Yortzeit Shir just on that Rambam. Perak Beis of Chazava. No, like Yortzeit Shurim years ago were like events, you know. That was the theme. How can that possibly be? How can that possibly be? So that's something to think about. Let's speak to Rebbeim about that. But you're right, that's a difference. Like Liyarsha, Litamela. What's another difference between Erisin and Yisuin? This is a difference found in Chumash. No? Mefurish and Chumash. Liyarsha, Litamela. That already you have to kind of read into the Pesukim. What's black and white? Hafaras Nedarim, right? The Pasuk in Bemidbar Perek Lamed. What does the Torah tell us? That if a woman, let's say, is an Arusa, so then, how does Hafaras Nedarim work? That's a joint effort, right, between the father and the husband. If the girl is a Nesua, then the Hafaras Nedarim is exclusively that of the husband. The reason I'll tell you how Farsanet is so important, number one, it's black and white. Chumash, not black and white. No? But here I will tell you that's really critical because it defines for us Eris and Nisuin. It's not just a nafgamina, but I will tell you it's much, much more than that. Much, much more than that. Because how do you know this fact? That when one is an Arusa, so it has to be a combination. An Aram Rasa, the father and the Baal are made for her Nidarim. But if a woman is in a Suah, so in such a case now it's exclusively the Baal. How do you know that? The answer is as follows, because in Parshas Matos, Benidbar Lama, the Pasuk says, Im Hayo Sihye Le'ish Unidare Allah. What does Hayo Sihye Le'ish mean? Hayo Sihye. That's Erisin. In other words, the fact that she becomes an Eishas Ish, the Kinyan of Eishas Ish, that's expressed in the Torah of Hayo Sihye, that's a reference to Erisin. How do you know that's true? Oh, you did this again, Daf Hey, for example, no? How do you know the Kedush Ishtar works? Kedush Ishtar. Yeah, Makish. Havaya Liatsia. Havaya means Erisin. Beholcha. Vahayis Lishachir. How do you know Vahayis Lishachir means Erisin? No? Hafaras Nadarim. Im Hayo Sia Liish. Unadare Aleo. That term, right? Entering into marriage. Makish Havaya Liatsia. That's a reference to Erisin. How would the Torah describe Nisuin? The Torah doesn't use the word Nisuin. How would the Torah describe the word Nisuin? When it comes to Afaras Nadarim, Im Hayo Sia Liish. Okay, joined. But upon Nisuin, the Baal has an exclusive right. I know that's true. Im Beis Isha Nadara. Beis Isha Nadara. If one who is part of the household of the husband makes an ender, then he exclusively has right of Afara. In other words, Beis Isha. Beis. Beis Ozoishta. That's already Nisuin. Nisuin. That's pretty critical, no? When you speak about the kinin of Ishus, that's Erisin. When you speak about the reality of Ishus, that she now is an Eishas Ish b'beis Habal, that's Nisuin. So a woman becomes an Eishas Ish at Erisin, but she's only considered to be an Eishas Ish b'beis Habal at the time of Nisuin. Where else do you see that that's true? That the concept of beis Isha is only a reference to Nisuin. Nisuin. This I don't know if you touched on, but that's pretty powerful, no? You got the Daf Yud yet or not yet? No, there's a Rashi and the Fila Beis and Kedusha, no? Yuma Daf Yud Gimel, Kohen Gadol, does you know? Does a Kohen Gadol have to marry? Has to, right? Yeah. How do you know?
On Yom Kippur.
Right? Has to be married on Yom Kippur? A Mishnah, no? The first Mishnah Maseches Yuma? You have to make sure the Kohen Gadol is married? Even to the point that maybe you have to have like a wife in waiting? No? Because maybe his wife will die? How do you know that a Kohen Gadol has to be married? No, because the Pasuk says, V'chiper ba'ado, V'yad Beisa, Beisa Zuishta, Beisa Zuishta, V'sugyen Yom, Daf Yud Gimel, Yerushalmi. Erisin's not enough. Erisin's not enough. You need Nisuin. You need Nisuin. Beisa Zuishta. Because the term Beisa, Beisa Zuishta, oh, that's a reference to Nisuin. Nisuin. Now I'll tell you, Gemara, that you know. No, Kedushin Daf Hey. A wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat truma, right? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know that the wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat truma? That yet Kedushin Daf Hey, no?
Yeah.
And when is that? Is that Erisin or is that Nisuin?
Erisin.
So Midaraisa Erisin and Midrabana is considered to be Nisuin. Midaraisa Erisin, Midrabana Nisuin. How do you know that Midaraisa is Erisin? Kinyan Kaspa. Kinyan Kaspa. Very good. Now, the Torah describes the wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat truma. The Torah says, Kinyan Kaspa, the Kinyan of Ishus. What's the Kinyan of Ishus? That's Erisin. Isha Niknis, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. That's the Kinyan of Ishus. The Kinyan of Ishus, that's a reference to Erisin. So, Arusa Bas Yisrael, Chalas Betruma. Arusa Bas Yisrael, Chalas Betruma. You know where that pasuk's found? Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor. Is there any other pasuk or parsha that discusses the wife of the Kohen partaking of Matnos Kahuna? Is that it? Just Parshas Emor? Or does the Torah mention even in other places that the wife of a Kohen is allowed to go ahead and partake of Matnos Kahuna? So the answer is yes. Where else do you find that this is true? Where else do you find that this isn't the case? Parshas Korach. No, B'midbar Perek Yirches. B'midbar Perek Yirches. But there the Pasuk says, Kol Tahar B'beis. Whoever's part of the bias of the Kohen is allowed to teach him. That's pretty fascinating, no? You have two parshias that tell us that a wife of a Kohen is allowed to go ahead and to eat. And one parsha, Emor, Kinyan Kaspa, the Kinyan of. But the other Pasuk says, the house of, the Beischa. You know, based on what I know, I would have said, one is referring to Erisin and one is referring to Nisun. No? Because Kinyan Kaspa is Erisin. But Beis Zuishto is a reference to Nisuin. No? Who says this? No, this is Rashi, Kedushin, Daf Yudim Adeis. No? Rashi writes exactly this difference. There are two parshiyos that Anashis Kohen is allowed to partake. Rashi writes, if I only had the pasuk in Parshas Korach, I would have insisted on Nisuin. Because the Torah uses the term, the bias of the Kohen. The bias of the Kohen is Nisuin. The pasuk in Parshas Emor tells us, even Eris. I'll tell you, studying Chiddush. You ready? You heard it here. Right, you ready? Or Sameach, Perek Vav, Hilchos Trumos, based on the Yerushalmi. What's the theme of Parshas Emor? The wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. What's the theme of Parshas Korach? The Midbar Perek Yuches? Other Matnos Kohuna. Other Matnos doesn't speak only about other Matnos Kohuna. Other Matnos Kohuna. I'll tell you a Chiddush of Or Sameach, you will discuss it with your Rebbeim. Why does the Gemara say that you learn Kiddush and Dafei? Arusa Basi Sochelas, Betruma. Why only Truma? No? Truma's the extent of Matnos Kohuna? Aren't there other Matnos Kohuna? Aren't there Chavdalid Matnos Kohuna? There's so many Matnos Kohuna. Why doesn't the Gemara tell us that you learn Arusa Basi Sochelas B'Matnos Kohuna? No? Why does it say Arusa Basi Sochelas B'Truma? Unbelievable Chiddush of Yerushalmi. This is only true when it comes to Truma, not when it comes to other Matnos Kohuna. Because other Matnos Kohuna is derived from Parshas Korach. There the Pasuk says, Beischa. That's only in a Suah. When it comes to Truma unusual, there the Torah says, Kinyan Kaspo. Oh, and that's why the Gemara you learned on Daf Hey, that for Kinyan Kaspo v'chilash Truma, that's Midaraisa, Arusa Bas Yisrael, v'chilas v'truma. That's pretty stunning, no? See, this is why Nisuin is so unclear. Very unclear, no? If I ask you, what is Erisin? Yeah, it's just a Mishnah and Daf Beis, no? Kesef, Shtar Bia. What is Nisuin? Very unclear. I don't know to what extent you touched on it. What is the definition of Nisuin? You look in Ebenezer, Simon Nun Hei. Five Shitas. In Shulchan Aruch. What exactly is the definition of Nisuin? Because the Kinyan of Yishus is very finite, no? The Kinyan is created through Kesef, Shtar Bia. Three different makoros for the Kinyan of Yishus. But when a woman is an Eishas Ish, after Erisin, she's still Bebeis Aviyah. She's still living with her father's home. All of a sudden there comes a point that she enters the Beis Haba. Now she's Beis Uzuishto. Where is the entry to the Beis Haba? When exactly does that occur? That's not so clear. At what point is there a Knisa the Rishus Haba that you can say, this isn't merely Hayosi, yeah? This is already Beis Ishanadara, no? Beis Uzuishto. That's very unclear. So, for example, the Shita Balayatosis is that's what a chuppah is supposed to represent. Right? A knisa l'rishus habal. And maybe standing under the chuppah is considered to be nisuin. Or the Rambam Shita? Perek Yud of Hilchos Yishus Yichud. What do you mean? When they seclude themselves together, alone, that's considered to be a knisa l'rishus. But you understand why. The Mordechai, the Badeking, now is considered to be an act of a knisa l'rishus. You understand why there should be many different options, because there are many different stages. At what point do you cross that line and argue, this is considered to be that which is Beisa. I'll tell you a very fascinating machlokas. Tosa says that Nisun is under Chuppah. The Rambam writes Nisun is Yichud. Tosa writes that the Birchas Nisun, Sheva Brachos, are Birchas HaShevach, which are after the Nisuin. And the Rambam is explicit, Perakut of Hilchos Ishus, that Birchas Nisuin is supposed to be before the Nisuin. As Yosef writes, because it's part of the mitzvah of Ishus. Not only Erisim, but even Nisuin. Because the Rambam has a mitzvah of Ishus. If it's a mitzvah, you would recite the bracha before the fact, right? So you know what we do in our chasanas? We recite the Sheva brachos at the very end of the chuppah, right before Yichud. Pretty cool, no? Yeah. That's after chuppah according to Tosus, and before chuppah according to the Rambam, no? That's what we kind of positioned, exactly at that window. No, because coverage, no? There we can accommodate both of those shitas in terms of what the role of Birchas Nisuin should be and when it should be recited. But this is a fascinating Rambam, that Ishus is a mitzvah. It's not just a Hefshe mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. And the mitzvah is made up of Eris and Nisuin. And the brachos, the Beis Yosef writes according to the Rambam, Paragimel v'chus Ishus, Paragimel v'chus Ishus, Paragimel v'chus Ishus, and Yud is Eris and Nisuin. The Rambam writes, both are supposed to be before the fact. So this is just simply definition. What is Eresin? What is Nisuin? And at what stage is it reached? But you understand why it's so unclear what exactly Nisuin should be. The Mordechai writes at the beginning of Kesuvos, maybe the Badeking. You know what's unusual? The Badeking is before the Eresin. You may have discussed, can you have Nisuin before Eresin? Can you have Nisuin before Eresin? No? That's the shift of the Mordechai. The Mordechai writes, what's the bracha that the Masada Kedushin recites? Mekale Shemo Yisrael Al Yedei. First Kopav, Alvai Kedushin. That's the sheet of the Mordechai, no? Rather unusual. Is that really what the Pasuk means? But the sequence is Nisuin before Eris, and that would sound a little bit unusual. But multiple possibilities in terms of what Nisuin is. So the Gemara that you learned, at least when it comes to Afreshes Truma, Arusa Bas Yisrael, Achilles B'Truma. Because if the Torah tells us, Kinyan Kaspo, the Kinyan of Ishus, that's clear. That's Kese, Shtar, and Bia, and therefore Erisin. So you had mentioned that that's Truman HaTorah. Arusa Bas Yisrael Chalas B'Truma. Midrabanan, we don't allow for that. Why not? If the Torah says yes, what do we say now? What did you see? Right? Two possibilities. One is Ula. What does Ula say? Right, Shemetashke. That look, oh, very good. You know, Erisin means she's an Eishes Ish. But she's still living with her family, her siblings. She's in her father's home. So she's going to bring all this into her father's home. So who do you think is going to partake of it? No? So Shemetashke. The others are going to partake. They're not entitled to partake. And therefore, Ula's concern is Shemetashke. What's the other possibility?
Simple.
What is that? What are you afraid of? It may end up being Kedushay Taos. Right now, they had an Erisin, but maybe something is subsequently going to surface that all of a sudden is going to undermine the Kedushin that was done. So maybe right now we presume it was a Kedushin, but we're not certain. You know, he did not yet bring her into her home. It's not yet Beis Ishtar. And maybe something could arise that would undermine the Kedushin. That would mean that she was never an Eishes Kohen. And if that really is true, so she is a Bas Yisrael who's eating truma. So maybe the reason that we wait until Nisuin is because of Simpa, not because of Shematashka, no? The Gemara that you had, right on Dafei. So Midaraisa Rusa Bas Yisrael Cheles B'Truma. Midrabananat, one of two possible reasons, either because of Simpon or else because of Shematashka. I guess this you didn't see yet, the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara raises an unbelievable question. My binayu. What's the difference? What difference does it make? Whether it's because of Shematashka or whether it's because of Simpon? Why does that matter? It matters for Shir, okay, but aside from Shir, no? Like, does it matter? Does it really matter whether it's reason A or reason B? That's a very legitimate question. My binayu. Anybody see that Yud Aleph yet? What's the difference? Oh, good, right? Kiva Masa V'Holach. Now, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Yika Ben Ayah. I'll tell you unbelievable differences. Kiva Masa V'Holach. Let's assume, for example, the husband explicitly states at the time of the Erisin that this marriage is categorically binding. There is no possibility of uprooting the marriage retroactively, even if it turns out that there was something I was not aware of that will not undermine the issues. He says it explicitly. So does Shemet Tashka still apply?
No.
Right? Yes. Shemet Tashka could still be relevant, but not Simpon. We're afraid it will result in Kedushei Tells. Kibel. He said explicitly, that's not true. Or what happens in the following case? Right? She's no longer in the husband's house. Mosar, halach. She left the father's house. So in such, you're still concerned now of Shemetashka? There's no Shemetashka. Simpon, yes. But Shemetashka, no. So the Gemara says, Mai binayu. There are huge differences between them, whether you accept Ula or whether you don't. The difference is Kibel, Mosar, halach. Well, so I'll tell you what struggles. Guy asks me if he can do something. I say, you know, you're not allowed to do that. That's Nisar Rabbanan. You can't play an instrument on Shabbos. This again, Beitzadav Lamed. You can't play an instrument on Shabbos. Why in the world? Well, because you know what? Maybe it'll break and you may come to fix it. No? I'm clueless. No, I have no idea how to fix any instrument whatsoever. I will guarantee you that if my instrument breaks on Shabbos, I am not going to go ahead and start playing and tampering and fixing. What are you going to tell that guy? It's okay? What are you going to tell him? What's that called? Right? Isn't that a low plug? When the Chacham makes Zeiros Rabbanan, really case by case by case by case, right? You're going to learn whatever it is, no? All dinim daraisa din drabanan. And I'm going to ask you, does this din drabanan apply to you? And we're going to say, okay, we'll see. You know? Well, what is the likelihood that this will happen in my particular instance? If yes, yes, then no, then no. So I can't do it, you can't do it, someone else can do it. Don't we always assume, almost without exception, that an issur drabanan is a low plug? A low plug. When the chachamim are motivated by a reason, they institute dinim drabanan, but you know, the scope of the din drabanan is not limited to the reason. It certainly transcends. Every din drabanan, we're going to take a step back and ask ourselves, well, you think it applies in this circumstance? You think it doesn't apply in this circumstance? And if it does, then yes, and if not, then not. So the vast majority, almost without exception, but yes, there are exceptions, but almost without exception, every din drabanan is a local. So I understand you can have a machlokes. Why it is the Chachamim said, Ad shetikanes l'chuppah. Ad shetikanes l'chuppah. Erisin is not enough. You need nisuin. You need beso zuishto in order to go ahead and eat truma. But the Gemara asked the question, Mai binayu, what's the difference? I would have screamed, there is no difference. There's a difference in terms of the why question. Why did the Chachamim do so? But the what question? What did the Chachamim say? Didn't they say categorically, as a low plug, that Eino ocheles v'truma ad shetikanes l'chuppah? No? So, it's such a chiddush. You learn the Gemara Daf Hey. Ula says it's because of Shemetashka. And you just should be aware, there's a Gemara a little bit later in Daf Yud Aleph that says, and if Shemetashka doesn't apply, no problem. No problem. Why? Why in the world? No? There's a concept of a low plug. I'll tell you a secret. Not for now, but you can take a look if you'd want. Low plug is not limited to dinim drabanan. It's even true min hatar. Many times the Torah will tell us that there's an iser because of reason A, but even if the reason doesn't apply, the halacha still applies. There's a low plug even min hatorah. You can take a look of Rav Yosef Engel, Lekach Tov, is the name of the sefer, Simen Ches. Multiple examples of a siyag daraisa and a low plug daraisa. So why does the Gemara think there's an afkamina? So that really troubled me. Now, when I learned Kedushin Daf Hey, and the Gemara says, oh, this is the reason, and I always thought that that was motivated. It's important to know the why questions, but it's only a why question. All of a sudden, you learn a little bit more, right? You get to Daf Yud Aleph if you're really, really stuck. So one answer is that you skip the Daf Chavtes, right? You don't learn the whole first paragraph, right? You go, move on. No, but that's not the real answer, no? You have to, how do you address that? No? I'll make the kasha much, much worse. I don't know, maybe Bikias. Anybody doing Daf Mem Hei?
Yeah.
So what's the point of saying Daf Mem Hei? That's like unbelievable. Well, the Gemara says you have a very young girl, you have a Ketana. And the father marries off his young daughter, who's a Ketana. Right? Who's a Ketana. Okay, no problem. The husband's a Kohen. All of a sudden, right? Holach Avia the Medina Sayam. The father's gone. No? He's not around. You know, presumably they're kind of going to get married now. The father's not here. All of a sudden, guess what? They did Nisun without the father. The father was the one who arranged this whole thing. No? He did Erisin. But the father now is gone. And they went forward with Nisun. So you know what the Gemara says? Mem Hei Mabez. That girl cannot eat truma. That girl cannot eat truma. Because Shema Yavo Avi Avimcha. Maybe their father will come back and said, you got married without me. Right? I only paid the bill. I only did the erisin. And you got married without me. And maybe the father would object. Shema Yavo Avimcha. And the Gemara says, and if the father says, I object to this. Vinim says, Zara Ocheles Truma Lafre. And it turns out then, that this girl is inappropriate eating truma. Inappropriate eating truma. She's a zara who is eating truma. So Tosos has two comments. Daf Mem Hei Beis. Comment number one is as follows. This cannot mean min haTorah, right? Because you learned to the Shabbat that Arusa Bas Yisrael falls for truma, right? You don't need nisun. And the father did Eirus, you know? So it can't really be min haTorah. Of course not. This is only din d'rabbanan. We learned in a Din D'Rabbanan, Kedushin Daf Hei, Achi Tikkanes L'Chuppah. So the father says, I object to that chuppah. I wasn't there for the chuppah. You know, it would have been nice had you waited for me. So Tosus is bothered by the father. They went ahead and did Nisun without the father. The father comes back. He sees they're together. They have their own apartment. The father says, like, what? What happened here? Let me ask you the following. Does Shemek Tashka still apply? Wait, no, in Kedushin Daf Hei?
No.
Does Shema Tashke apply?
No.
Shema Tashke? They're living as husband and wife. They went through Nisuin. Does Simpon still apply?
No.
They're living together as husband and wife. Right? There's no Simpon. There's no Shema Tashke. There's nothing. Nothing, no? No Simpon. No Shema Tashke. No concern. No concern. So what's going on? This is not my question. This is Tosus's question. This is Tosus's question. What's the concern? Mem Hei Mabez. The father agreed to the erisin, and there was already nisuin. There's no fear of shemetashke. There's no fear of simpon. You know what Tosus says? You see from this Gemara? Loplug. Loplug. Who cares if the reason applies? When the Chachamim make Gzeros d'Rabbanan, a Gzera is never limited to the reason. Maybe they institute this Gzera because of Simpon or because of Shemetashke. But once the Chachamim declare, Ad Shetikanes L'Chuppah, that really means Ad Shetikanes L'Chuppah. And even if you come forward and say the reason of Simpon doesn't apply, the reason of Shemetashke doesn't apply, neither reason applies, that is really irrelevant. That is irrelevant. What do you mean it's irrelevant? No. Kedushin Daf Yud Aleph Min Aleph. Mai Binayu, Ika Binayu, Kiva Masav Aleph. No? So you put these Gemaras together. Hey, Yud Aleph, Mem Hei. Like, what do you make of this? What do you make of this? No? That's not so simple. How do you assume that it's really a low plug when the Gemara Kedushin Daf Yud Aleph says it's absolutely not a low plug? Mai Binayu, Kiva Masav Aleph. This is a kasha of the Nesivos. The Nesivos has a separate sefer on Maseches Ksuvos. It's called the Beis Yaakov. In the Beis Yaakov, you can take a look. Maseches Ksuvos, Daf Nun Zayin. Nun Zayin is where you find in the Mishnah and the Gemara these cases. The Nesivos raises this issue. No? A pretty basic kasha, no? Not what you learn. Like, I understand. I mean, haTorah, everything works. I mean, but is it or isn't it local? A local. And the Sefas writes, what you have to assume is, you know, this is a fundamental issue. And the answer is not yes or no. The answer is significant machlokes. A significant machlokes. Whether what you learned in Kedushin Daf Hey, Ashetikanes Lechopo, is that a low plug or is that not? Is that a low plug or is that not? Do we assume that it is clearly a low plug, like most in the Ravana, or do we assume that's not true? Or do you assume that's not true? Why should it be a machlokes? Oh, so the Nesivus writes, because when you look at the prime sugya, what your Gemara was referencing, on Daf Hey, the sugyan ksuvus daf nun zayin, the Mishnah says that there was a machlokes. The Mishnah says there was a Mishnah Rishona, and there was a Mishnah Achrona. There was an earlier layer of the Tanaim, and there was a later layer of the Tanaim. And the Nesivus writes, they were debating exactly this issue. Debating this issue as to whether this Zerah the Rabban that you learned of Ashi Tikkun HaShlochot is a low plug or not. So the missionary Shona maintained that it is not a low plug. And only if the reason applies does that apply. And then the mission itself tells us in later generations they ruled absolutely not. That was exactly the issue. And you see this right, I wasn't like making this. Sometimes your machlokas will say, you know what, maybe this is according to this, this is according to that. No, you look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that this was historically a very heavy issue, whether this was the case or whether it's not. Once you see in the Mishnah that it tells us, there were different stages. So therefore, it's not surprising that you can find Gemaras that echo both possibilities. And the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph is assuming that it's not a low plug, like the Mishnah Rishonim. And the sugya later on Daf Memhei is reflecting the later day in the Tanaim that this was absolutely a low plug. That's what the Nesivus writes. What the Nesivus doesn't explain, it's a beautiful structure, because when you really see these sugyas, it comes to life. But the Nesivus doesn't explain, like, what are they arguing about? Why should one say one way? Why should one say another way? The Nesivus doesn't explain. So let me tell you a suggestion. Okay, you're with me so far, right? Let me tell you a suggestion. In almost all cases, when the Chachamim go ahead and make Zeros Drabanan, they do not make Zeros Drabanan case by case by case. There is an overarching concern, and there's a universal Zeros Drabanan as a local. But as I mentioned, there's certain cases where it's not true. Really, it's not true. You know, this is even true min HaTorah. Min HaTorah. I'll give you like a fascinating example. Now, there's a mission about Masiyat of Kuf Tesvalo. The Torah tells us, a woman comes to you, she's lost her husband, she's in need of money. Lend her the money. Don't demand a collateral. It's not right. It's not right to insist on a collateral. Generally speaking, I lend, I may. But with an almana, that's not an appropriate thing to do. I'll tell you the following question. That's that sugya, right? What happens if this almana comes? This is an incredibly wealthy woman. And she's coming to wheel and deal, to buy and sell. So she's not in need. She's not impoverished. This woman has. But she's investing. I'm not allowed to demand a collateral. Well, but the Torah says, what do you mean, lo safo begramana? This is a machlok, it's Rabin and Rabbi Shimon. Right, darshin and time of the crop. Darshin and time of the crop. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, if the pasuk says no, the answer is no. And therefore, lo safo begramana applies categorically. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon tells us a fascinating chiddush, that if we're confident as to what the reason for the halacha is, we can limit, or sometimes expand the scope of the halacha based on its reason. That's called a shin in time of the krah. The Gemara asks the following question. That Gemara, Bav Metzia Kuf Tezvav, is very important as a model. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you have no right. If the Torah says no, the answer is no. So the Gemara says, isn't that difficult? You know, when it comes to a melech, the Torah says, L'yar b'lanoshim. A melech should not have many wives. Rabbi Yehuda says that doesn't always apply. If he marries the right women, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. Depends where they went to seminary. No. Some, yes, some. What do you mean? Right? Yisa ubavaj le'nisira sasleiva. What do you mean? If it's the right type of person, so they will instill in him Yirat Shamayim. Rabbi just says, what do you mean? Rabbi just Pasuk says no. Rabbi just says yes. Isn't that called Rashin and Tamid Akra? That's the Gemara's. The Gemara gives a basic teretz. This teretz is critical. There's a big difference between Lo Safa Begen Almana, don't take the collateral, and Lo Yav L'Nashim, don't marry excessively. Because Lo Safa Begen Almana, that's it. The Torah says no. The Torah doesn't say why. When it comes to Lo Yav L'Nashim, the Pasuk says, V'lo Yosir L'Vavo. The reason is built in. The Torah underscores the reason. That's Rabbi Yudashita. If the Tam is Mufurish Bekro, if the reason is explicit, then it's built in. If the Torah does not mention the reason, what right do you have to say, this is the reason, and therefore, the halacha only applies here and doesn't apply there? In other words, this concept min haTorah, the Torah says no. How universal is it? It all depends. If the reason is built in, then the reason is part of the fabric of the halacha. It's not just simply Talmud Torah. You know, there's a Bach. It's fascinating, no? In three places in Aruch Chaim, this is very Nogei L'Halacha. Three places in Aruch Chaim. Right? In Simen Ches, Simen Chafei, and Tafresh Chafei. The Mechaber goes out of his way at length and length and length and tells you the reason for some of the mitzvahs that we do. There's a whole Simen in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Chafei. The reason of the mitzvah of Sukkah. It's really unusual, no? You know? What everybody knows, that's the tour in Simen Tafresh Chafei. Why do you celebrate Sukkot during this season and not in the season of Nisan, no? That's the tour. Since when is the tour telling us all these why questions? No, why here and why not there? And what is the Sukkot supposed to represent? Anani HaKavod Sukkot Mamish? No? Like, so the Bach just makes the following observation, because when it comes to the vast majority of mitzvahs, the Torah doesn't tell us why. But when it comes to Sukkot, the Torah says, "Basukos teishu shivas yamim, leman yedu doroseichem kibasukos oshafti." If the Torah says, "Do this in order that," in order leman yedu, that's critical. That's critical. If the reason is built into the mitzvah, the reason is critical to the point that either you won't fully fulfill the mitzvah. That's what the Bach says, or the Rav Taner writes in Bikur Yaakov, that's him, Tafresh Chafei. You won't fulfill the mitzvah at all. At all. Unless you bear this in mind. Unless you realize why this is so important. Because if the Torah goes out of its way and incorporates the reason into the mitzvah, this isn't just an enhancement, but this is part of. And you know, it's kind of unbelievable. That concept of laman, when it comes to tzitzis. You wear tzitzis, laman tizkeru, in order to remember. Here, not so long ago, not Parshas Bo. You put on tefillin, no? This past Shabbos. L'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha. The Torah should be always full in your mouth. You should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Torah says, you're doing it for this person. You better bear that in mind. Guess what? In those three places. Simen Ches, Hilchos Tzitzis, and Simen Chafei, Hilchos Tefillin, Tafresh Chafei, Hilchos Sukkah. The Mechaber goes out of her way and says, you better understand why you're doing these things, because it's really critical. Because here the reason is built in. It's built into the fabric of the halacha. That's exactly what the Gemara emphasizes, but Metziyat Guf Tesvav, when the reason is built in, it's part of. When it's not, then not. You know, so when it comes to the Psukei HaTorah, that's kind of easy, no? So just look in the Pasuk. To what extent does the Torah build in the reason? To what extent does it not? When it comes to Dinim Drabanan, very hard to know. We don't have all the minutes, no? Hard to know. When the Chachamim created this Din Drabanan because of this concern, did they build the concern into the Din Drabanan? That I can argue only when that concern is real, then yes? Or should we argue that no? That's why the Chachamim were motivated to institute this Din Rabbanan, but you know what? It was instituted universally as a low plug. Not always so easy to know. But it's clear that that's the issue. That's the model. Models daraisa where the reason is inherent, and models deraisa, where the reason is extraneous. And therefore, you have to know. Are there any rules? Are there any rules? So, I will admit, it's a hard question. It's a hard question. You have to learn many sugyas, Masechta Beis, Daf Amud Aleph. Tosfos discusses it to an extent. Are there any rules that when it is clear to us that the reason is paramount, and if the reason doesn't apply, the halacha doesn't apply? So I'll give you one rule. I admit this is not an exhaustive rule, but one rule I'll give you. One rule I'll give you. When the Chachami made dinim derabbanan, sometimes they forbid that which is a dvar rishus. They forbid something that's neutral. That's neutral. That's true most of the time. Sometimes unusual, the Chachamim forbid something which is a mitzvah min ha-Torah. A mitzvah min ha-Torah. Like, the Torah says yes, and the Chachamim say no. That's striking, no? That's a sugi of almost, of tzadim abeis. Yeish koach, biyad Chachamim lakar davar min ha-Torah. Sometimes the Chachamim have a right to say, even though the Torah says you must, we don't allow you to do so. We don't allow you to do so. I would tell you one rule. When the Chachamim forbid a Dvar Rishus, okay, then the Chachamim have full reign to say always, always, always. When the Chachamim forbid something, that this should be a mitzvah daraisa. This should be a mitzvah daraisa. The Chachamim say, no, we're concerned about something. There, I'll tell you, the concern is real. No? It has to be palpable. It has to be justified. Because they're not just forbidding the Dvar Rishus. They're telling you to go against the Torah. Go against the Torah. You know, there's one line in the Mechaber, in Hilchos Shabbos and Gimel, where the Mechaber writes, maybe there's no such thing as Rishus HaRabim b'zman hazeh. Wow. The Mishnah Berurah Bir Halacha raised the following question. If that's really true, that nowhere, we should take a lulav on Shabbos. We should blow shofar on Shabbos. You know, if one community yes, one community no, you know, I'm afraid the next Rosh Hashanah will be elsewhere. And you may do there what you did here. But if you're really telling me there's no Rosh Hashanah, shouldn't you blow shofar? What, we're not going to blow shofar on Shabbos because you may end up carrying the shofar? If that chash is not real, the Mishnah Berurah is clear, the answer would not just simply be, it's categorical, it's a low blow. What happened to the concept of low food? The answer is, this is an Akiras Devon in the Torah. Where did the Mishnah Berurah get this from? This is a Tshuvas HaRash. This is a Tshuvas HaRash. The Rush writes, one of the examples of Akiras Devon in the Torah, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in the Chassitzes. The very beginning of the Chassitzes. One of the cases the Gemara says, an astounding case of a Din Derabban going against the Torah, is let's say a person has a linen garment. A linen garment. That garment is obligated in tzitzis. That our garment is obligated in tzitzis min ha-Torah. Obligated in tzitzis. The Chachamim are afraid. You know what? That what is all of your tzitzis made out of? Wool. A person may go ahead and affix wool tzitzis to a linen garment. And even though technically you're right, isn't that an example of a mitzvah saseh overriding lo saseh? But the Balamor explains and others, Adei and Tosus, maybe that's only true when you fully fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Meaning, tzitzis, lavan, together with tcheles. If the mitzvah is not being formed fully, maybe then we don't allow you to override the concerns of shatness. That's how the Balamor and Tosus understand the Gemara. And therefore, you know what the Gemara says? Something stunning. We're afraid that if a person has a linen garment, he has an option. He can put linen tzitzis on a linen garment. But we're afraid. It's going to lead to shatness. So the Chachamim declared, unbelievable, sadin b'tzitzis, you're not allowed to put any tzitzis on a linen garment. What do you mean? The Torah says I must. I'm wearing a beged of dalat kamfos made out of linen without tzitzis. How can that be? The Gemara says, "Yivam without tzitzis beis." That's another example of an akiras derech min ha-Torah. Now that's like shofar on Shabbos, like lulav on Shabbos. Okay. The Rush writes in the Tshuvas. Now this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, the very beginning of a chassidus. the Rosh Hashanah, he was like amazed because he went to certain communities and he saw people were wearing tzitzis on linen garments. A linen garment with linen tzitzis. And the Gemara says, you're not supposed to do that. And how is that possible? How is that possible? So the Rosh writes, this is the Ramah, the beginning of Hilchos Tzitzis. The Magen Avraham explains this background, that not putting any tzitzis on a linen garment is an akiras davar min haTorah. And when it comes to an akiras davar min haTorah, you don't disown lo plug. It has to be that this concern is real, is real. And the Rosh writes, this concern of the Gemara was no longer true. Because the Gemara describes that in earlier times, they had tcheles, they had kala de'ilon, they had fake tcheles. You know, so that could really be an issue. The Rosh writes, in our time, that wasn't true. And therefore, the whole concern of the Gemara was not applicable. And even though a gzeirah d'rabbanan can be a low plug, not if it's going against a mitzvah satan. Not if it's going against a mitzvah satan. That's the Tshuva Sarash. That's Korban Shulchan Aruch. That's something that, I think there could be many other examples of that. You know, and it resonates, it makes sense. You know, if I were to ask you, why did the Chachamim say you can go against the Torah? You know what the Rambam writes in Perek Beis of Uchus Mamlin? The Rambam quotes a pasuk, the Shomer Beis of Shabbos, and the Rambam gives a mashal. Kishem Shaharofei Choteich Eiver Echad. Sometimes a doctor has to amputate a limb to save a body. That's what the Rambam writes. Sometimes the Chachamim have to say, to safeguard Shabbos, don't blow shofar when it's Shabbos. Because sometimes you have to sacrifice a limb to save a body. That's the Rambam's mashal of Akira Sarban HaTorah. You're going to tell me, like, low plug? You go to the doctor because you have a little bit of a, you know, an ailment on your foot. The doctor will tell you, I don't want to use me because amputation, a low plug. You know, I do this in all cases because... An Akira Stefan and Torah is a low plug. An Akira, the Rosh writes, cannot be. Cannot be. That's a nice so. Now, it doesn't answer all the questions, but it is one cloud. In Akira Stefan and Torah, there, it doesn't mean one community will blow shofar, one community won't blow shofar. But if it really would be the case that the chashash is not relevant, the Chachamim would never say that categorically don't do this. That's a Tshuva Sarash. It's fascinating. It's always interesting how many cases, right, can be covered by that cloud of the Rosh. So what does that have to do with us? Yes, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you a fascinating issue. And when you repeat this, be careful, because I don't want to be misunderstood. Kohen each truma. Kohen each truma. We began this year, no? Mayor must. No? Is it a reshus for a kohen to eat truma? Or is it a mitzvah for a kohen to eat truma? The Rambam's clear, the very end of Hilchos Trumas, Perek Tezvav. It's a mitzvah for a kohen to eat truma. A mitzvah for a kohen to eat truma. It's not just simply that, you know, I can't, but the Torah says a kohen is allowed to. Much, much more than that. It's a mitzvah sachila. A mitzvah sachila. You know, truma in many aspects has elements of achilas kodshim. The Rambam and the mitzvah of achilas kodshim includes achilas truma. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of achilas truma. The Rambam writes, when the kohen is about to eat truma, he recites a berachas mitzvah. Asher kedushan mitzvah savetzivan. A mitzvah of achilas truma. Very good. Okay. You know what? Let's say I give the kohen truma. You know, some of this truma is like really, really good stuff, you know? Some of this truma is like a little bit of junk, you know? It's like animal fat, you know? Oh, the husks, all that kind of stuff. The Torah says, you know what? A Kohen gives that to his animal. The behemoth Kohen eats truma. A mitzvah sachila or a heter? You know? Isn't it obvious, no? A heter achila, right? The animal is performing the mitzvah achila shtruma. If the animal could speak, it would recite a berachas mitzvah. No. It means since this is not something that typically you and I would eat, it's not considered to be debating, degracing, being machalo, the kedushas truma, by giving it to the animal. So then I will tell you two models, no? Two models. When a kohen eats truma, it's a mitzvah sachila. When a behemoth kohen eats truma, it's a heter achila. Now I'll tell you that be careful with this mashal. When you write home, don't tell you. You'll tell your mother this is the shir that I gave. When the ashes come in each truma, is that a mitzvah sachil or is that a heterachil? When the Torah describes that the kohen can share the truma with his wife, a mitzvah sachil or a heterachil? Not so clear. Maybe one can go a step further. Maybe there could be a difference between maybe Erisin and Yisuin. Maybe after Yisuin, like, that's where you find the concept in Shas, like in Ishto Kagufo. Maybe she's an extension of, you know, now her children are Kohanim. Her daughter is a Bas Kohen. Maybe she is no worse than. That's a Minchas Minuch, and it's Chavbei, it's about Peter Chamor. That's a rugged shover, Right? The Minchas Ishus. He thinks that there's a fundamental difference between Eris and Nisuin, that she becomes a Kohenes through Nisuin, but not after Eris, The Rekha Chavar doesn't write that. He just writes that kind of idea that after the Kenyan, that's true, that's the beginning of Ishus. But only after the full consummation of Ishus, then you can assume Besos of Ishto and Ishto Kagufa. So, when an Ishus Kohen eats truma, a mitzvah sachila, a heter, and maybe it couldn't distinguish, maybe it's an Eris and Yisuin. You know what I'll tell you? That's really important for this Gemara, no? Because when the Chachamim declared that even though min haTorah, after Erisin, an Ishus Kohen can eat truma, but we say no, because we're concerned of Tashke or Simpon, is that forbidding a Devar Rishus? Or is that going slap in the face of us? If there's a mitzvah sachila, that's an akiras devar min haTorah. If it's only a Rishus, this is a typical Gzeira Drabanan. The Chachamim have a right to forbid Dini Rishus. But what's the difference between Rishus and a mitzvah, the Tshuva Sarash? Low plug. If something is a mitzvah, therefore, you don't categorically forbid. When the concern applies, yes, otherwise, no. If it's only considered to be a rishus, then you can have a case of a low plug. So, one could suggest that is the machlokes tanoim, and afnan zaynik suggests. That is the stira sasugya of kedushin dafei, daf yud aleph, daf memei, about when the Chachamim forbid Achilas Truma after an Arusa. Is that called an Akiras Tevar Min haTorah? If it is, then we're going to limit that Gzeira. Kedushin Dafir Aleph, Mai Binayu, Ika Binayu, Kiba Masav Olaf. The Tosa says, you see the Gemara Daf Memei, Halachavim Dinasayam, Lo Plu, the Nesivis. This was a fundamental issue in Tanaim. The Mishnah, Mishnah Achrona. The Mishnah never tells us what they're arguing about. Now, that I think is a very, very cogent possibility. To what extent is it a mitzvah sachila? To what extent is it a heter achila? Is it a low plug or is it not? And maybe just based on the whole yisod of issues, maybe one could distinguish between eris and nisuin. The reason this is a machlok is because this is only eris. Maybe after nisuin that would be true. But after eris and after kinyan kasvo, maybe not a heter achila. Not necessarily a mitzvah sachila. And therefore you can have machlokes formulated as a case of a low plug. It's a fascinating possibility, just understanding right the sugyas that you have. You know, it's a detailed question, but I think it brings out the hagdaros, the yesodos. You know, whenever you learn, Slavetchik or Kopeshim Rav Chaim, getting to the root of the sugya always means that you have to be able to assess the principles. The Hagdaros. What is the definition of Eris and what's the definition of Nisa? What are the differences that one finds in Halacha? It's always critical to take a step back after you learn the Sugya to be able to recognize the Yesodos, the Hagdaros. And you'll see that will take you right, many, many different different sugyas. You know, I mentioned when I was here last year, the Gemara Nidan Daf Ayin, that raises the question that Maya Sodom Viechta. That what does a person have to do to grow in the Torah Hashem, literally to know you're learning? How do you remember everything that you learn? And the Gemara tells us that very simply, now that Yarba be Yeshiva be my Pischor, you have to see to it that you're not distracted. Now, if your mind is in so many different places, it's going to be very hard to focus. And Yarba be Yeshiva, you really have to learn. Right? You can't take shortcuts. You really have to put in the effort. And the Gemara tells us something incredible, that Harba Yasav also the other. There are many that did that. They weren't successful. They really learned. They really learned. But they weren't successful in their learning. How can that be? Because the Gemara says, as important as learning is, there's one more component. Yevakesh mimisha chaf mashalot. You have to daven to Hashem for siyata d'shmaya. Without it, you will not succeed. Without it, you will not succeed. You have to be mishtadel, you have to exert enormous effort, and you have to be mispadel. You have to daven for siyata d'shmaya. And the Gemara concludes, ha lo ha lo sagi. Neither one alone is sufficient. Both are necessary. If a person just learns, he won't know Maseches Kedusha. If you just daven, you're not going to know Maseches Kedusha. It has to be the convergence of both. You have to be mishtadel, and you have to be mispadel. Both are critical, critical elements. Sometimes you have talmidim that don't really learn Bahasmada. Okay. Sometimes you find talmidim that learn Bahasmada, they don't daven, with a real earnest sense of Yislavos. And without it, it's not going to happen. You know, there's the Mishnah Maseches Avos that tells us, Rabbi Lozano Rikonis was the Bor Sud She'eno Ma'abati. Right? He remembered everything. A photographic mind. Perfect image of everything that he learned. You know, what's troubling about that Mishnah is, you know, if this was like a biography of Rabbi Lozano Rikonis, I understand. You know, in a biography, you mention all the... This is a Mishnah. A Mishnah Maseches Avos is supposed to teach. It's supposed to inform your Avodas Hashem. How is my Avodas Hashem informed, enriched? What do I learn from the fact that Rabbi Lozano Rikonis had a photographic mind? Like, what is it that I'm supposed to take away, right, from that, that he did and I don't, and therefore, okay, now what? Now what? What exactly is that lesson? Is that lesson? So I always tell my Talmidim, because there is a Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chavches, Rabbi Lozman Arkanis, Mi Yamai, No Kidmani, Ad Mabei Samedesh. Lozman Arkanis says it never happened, never, not once, that anyone ever got to the Beis Samedesh before I did. And the same Gemara tells us, Rami Nachli Adam Yatzasi, it never happened that I left the Beis Medrash and someone else was still there. That's like unbelievable, no? Always, without exception, more than a low plume, no? He was always the first one in, always the last one out. You know, if anyone could have gotten by, kind of like cutting corners, you know, showing up a little bit late and leaving a little bit early, probably would have been Rabbi Lenorkinis, no? Because he had this photographic mind. But now, see, now, he could come in an hour and he'd be good to go. No, he was always the first one, always the last one. I would suggest that Rabbi Lozman Lenorkinis was not always the Bor Sud Shem Abatib. He wasn't born that way. But that's what he became. That's how he emerged. You ask me, how do I know that? Because we have Pirkei Rabbi Lozman, authored by Rabbi Lozman Lenorkinis. And if you just read the beginning of Pirkei Rabbi Lozman, it describes how he really struggled in terms of learning. That's like remarkable. He struggled in learning. He was like the Bor Sud Shem Avatipa. That wasn't always the case. That's what he became. He became because Lo Kidman Adam, because he was the first one in. He was the last one out. He became. He emerged. He developed. That's why it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Because it's speaking to you. You know, sometimes a person sits down to learn and he thinks there's certain limitations that you have in terms of your ability. I don't have the best memory. I don't have the best grasp. And therefore, how realistic is it that I can... You know what the answer is? It's fully realistic. Because it's really not up to you. You position yourself in learning and in life. You position yourself. And you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Deshmaya. And all of a sudden, like, remarkable things start happening. Right? You far surpass any natural capacity that you thought limited your ability to succeed. That's a Gemara. Needed a fine obeys. So it wasn't working to struggle in his learning, but you know, he saw to it. First one in, last one out. All of a sudden he emerged. He was this Borsud She'enu Mabetipa. You know, like, that's the lesson. That's why the Mishnah tells us later in Pirkei Avos that Dalu Midas B'Talmidim. You know, Talmidim have different strengths. You know, some have a quick grasp, some have an incredible memory, some have both, some have neither. One, the Rambam is bothered, the Rina Achmiash. Why is that a Mishnah in Maseches Avos? It would be surprising if the Mishnah would say, there's some Talmidim that are tall and some Talmidim that are short. This is like a natural faculty. So the rewrites, you know what the answer is? He writes this, Nida Dafayim. It's not a natural faculty. No? It really is up to you. You can emerge. You can become. You know, does it mean that it's so easy? No, of course not. Of course not. No? The most important things in life are not easy come, easy go. You have to invest. You have to invest. You have to be Marabi Yeshiva, and you have to be Mispala. And all of a sudden, you see that you emerge. Right. Maseches Kedushin, it's not beyond your dreams to go through Maseches Kedushin. But it requires that you really have to take every moment really seriously. And you absolutely have to constantly, constantly chazar that which you learn. You know, chazar is not discretionary. You're not allowed to forget your learning. It's an iser to forget your learning. You're not allowed to forget. You don't have that choice. You don't have that choice. You'll tell me, what do you mean? But sometimes it's beyond my control. Onus Rachmana Patra. It's beyond my control. You're right. You know? But if you don't do what you have to do, that's not an onus. No? How many times did you review this? No? 2, 3, 4, 5. Why do you think you would know this again? So thoroughly. Through and through, in and out. If you only chazar a handful of times, that's not an onus. Kadosh Baruch Hu created our minds that we require chazar. We require. There's certain sugyas that have chazar hundreds of times. Because, you know, like, you want to make sure that it becomes part of you. You have to constantly review everything that you learn. And if after that you forget, okay, maybe then you can say, you know, this is beyond. But it can't be an excuse for not putting in the time and developing in the ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to. And this Baruch Hashem is an opportunity, right, that you have to be in yeshiva, to be surrounded by such rabbein, to learn, to be starting the day. You have the opportunity to accomplish worlds. You know, that you look around your rabbein, you see what they represent. Now, I knew your rabbein when they were a lot younger. You know, they were great, but not as great as they are now. They weren't just simply born with all of this yiddishness and all these natural faculties, you know? But all of a sudden you emerge, right? And that is a model that each one of you, right, can emulate, can embrace, and really emerge in the Torah Hashem. There's a medrash in Parshas Niksavim that writes that there were two individuals who were famished, and they entered this room, and there was food. But the medrash writes one hitch. Now that, you know what? There was food, but it had a cathedral ceiling, and the food was suspended from the ceiling. So the Medrash writes, take a look, and Parshas Nitzavim. The Tipesh walks out and says, this is beyond my reach. And the Pikeach says, Valo Mitala Oso. No, someone must have put it there. What wasn't always there. And somehow, if he was able to, then I can access. And that's exactly what the Midrash writes, is Esek Batara. The Midrash writes that. You learn one line at a time, one daf at a time, and all of a sudden you see that you're overreaching. You reach heights that you never thought you could accomplish. And that's why the Midrash in Parshas Nitzavim says, that's the meaning of the Pasuk. Lo niflesi mimcha, lo rachalkehi. The Torah system is not beyond, it's not distant. Ki karav alecha davar ma'od, b'chich l'vav chalas osa. It's there, it's within your reach, it's accessible. And the Medrash writes, this is how you should interpret the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Niflesi mincha. The Medrash writes, V'im niflesi, if you think that the Torah Hashem is kind of beyond, it's only for select few, others not for me, V'im niflesi, place the comma there. That's what the Medrash writes. V'im niflesi, mincha. mincha. That's your mindset right now, but that's not the Torah Hashem. Ki karav lecha dov meod. It's there for you. It's accessible. You can reach. You can immerse yourself. You have to be mishtadal. You have to be mispalel. And all of a sudden, the Gemara tells us, guarantee, it'll be zochet to incredible siyata d'shmaya. So, Ezras Hashem, you should be zochet, so that type of hashkachas Hashem, to use your time so effectively. Immerse yourself in the Torah Hashem. And every Shmoneh Esrei, daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that siyata d'shmaya, that He should give you that schus, being able to link in, to be able to understand, to be able to develop in areas of Esek Batorah, in Avas Hashem, and in Yerushalayim.